Good morning and welcome to another podcast on ForsythSports365.com. It's a Wednesday, so that means we're having a coach's corner here, and unfortunately you're not hearing Greg Golden's voice first. This is Doug Thomas, as I said, but Greg had a little surgery last week, and so he's recovering, and so we wish Greg the best, and he might be out for a couple weeks. We'll keep talking about that, but we'll keep everybody updated and keep him in our thoughts and prayers, but we're definitely missing today with us for sure, because I'm used to just sitting on the other side letting him go and me starting some questions and stuff, so definitely a little different, but we're here. We're going to have it, and who else do I have with me? Of course, we have the head coach. Coach James Thompson. Coach, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. You know, thoughts with Greg. I hope he can come bounce back here and be with us next week.
Yeah, I hope so, too. And so, Greg, when you're listening, I mean, Coach was just saying, okay, this is really strange doing this without you here. So we definitely miss you. But anyway, hey, so we had a bye week last week, and which was, I'm sure, nice to have and fun. I want to talk about the bye week a little bit. So maybe first before we get going, talk about what the schedule looks like a little different. And then I want to tell you guys, I have hats off to the coaches. I was up here, you know, what was it, last Thursday or whatever day it was, and it's a bye week, and you guys have coaches have power washers out. You had blowers and everything. You guys had a cleanup day, and I'm going to tell you, the place looks phenomenal because we didn't get to have our cleanup day because of the field being closed with the track. But Cordell was out there spraying all the screens and everything, getting the dirt off, and I'm going to tell you, folks, it looks fantastic, and I've never seen our coaches out doing a cleanup day, so I let everybody know that you guys were here doing that.
Thanks. Yeah, but we just wanted to clean it up. You know, we got some feedback from the stands, and, you know, it was dirty, so we saw a need and tried to jump out there and get it, but, you know, hats off to Cordell. That was actually his idea, kind of just to help give back to the parents, and, you know, because we do love the kids so much, and we know a big part of that is the parents.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the one thing I like, and then Coach T was out there. He was blowing every one of those little rocks and pebbles back in those things. When that was put down, I'm like, that's a great idea to look pretty. But, man, those are going to get all over the place. All those kids get underneath there, and they blow them all – they throw them all over the place. But, no, place looks fantastic. So talk about the bye week. I want to get into Riverwood a little bit, but obviously – a lot of momentum and excitement, you know, coming off a big win going into a bye week. Because to me, there's nothing worse than going into a bye week after a loss. But you guys definitely had a performance. So talk about the schedule a little bit. And, you know, at what point is it differently? And then when do you get back to normal?
Well, you know, throughout my career, you kind of – every bye week's different. And there's different ways to approach it. You know, you can approach it with, let's get healthy this week. You can approach it with, let's take this week and scheme north a little bit more, practice some the next opponent, or you can take it and correct yourself, you know, from the things that you've had problems with. So this week we felt like there was pretty equal needs amongst those three, so we kind of tried to address it all, like get ourselves better, get healthy, and then go ahead and start installing stuff for our next game, which is North here on Friday.
Yeah, that's great. And I tell you what, I want to talk about North for sure, but I want to go back and talk about the Riverwood game. I tell you what, that honestly, we were sitting in the booth, all our guys, and it was honestly one of the funnest games we've watched in a long time. I mean, it's just, it has to be so much fun when you see, at least from the outside in, it looked like everything was working. Now, I'm sure when you watch film, there's plenty of things you go that could have been better. But this team has had, let's see, we've had two games where two teams have scored at the end of a half with no time. And then we've had a game where we kicked off and they fumbled and then we scored. And in this one, we had sat here in this office talking about their receiver number 8. And the first play, he gets behind us for an 80-yard touchdown. Talk about what are the thoughts going through your head on the very first play when you first off, you see that ball thrown, you're like, yeah, he's wide open and it's gone. You're not touching him. And then how do you recover from that quickly?
Well, you know, he was the one that we talked mm-hmm. about. And I think we made it pretty clear to the kids that that was the guy of their team, that, you know, that number 8, and to be aware and all those things. So, yeah, that was disappointing as can be. You know, watch it. You look up and it was like 7 seconds ticked off the clock and we're down 7-0. So then the question is, like, how are you going to take this? How are you going to respond? And now, you know, so I'm like, well, it's a challenge and let's see what happens here. And we get out. We call the first two offensive plays we had, we lined up wrong, and then we ran the play the wrong way. So I'm looking at this like, man, is there a way I can get out of here? Like, can someone turn off the lights and I'll disappear? Because I was like, this isn't going to be well. But again, kudos to the kids. They kind of, the maturity kicked in and they were able to settle down and start executing the plays. And, you know, that's part of it, is you have to learn how to handle your emotions and handle your nerves. And I think that that's what happened there on the defensive play. Our safety kind of just, you get nervous, you know, and then the same thing, you're so excited to play football and you line up incorrect. So, you know, that's growing pains. And, you know, I don't really think there's anybody to fault. I think that we learned a lot from how we opened that game. And I think we learned on how we closed it. So now the question is, can we be more consistent, you know, with our play throughout a whole game, an entire game, and again, challenge up this week?
You know, hearing that, it makes me realize how important, like, those two scrimmage games were and these three non-region games. Like we said, we talk about that you don't look ahead at the schedule, but as we head into region play, which is so important, talk a little about how important those games have been and how much it's been able to have you learn about your team, watch film, and get you even more prepared for this week.
They're great kids, and they translate. What you see on the practice field translates over. And they've got the emotion. They've got all the tools necessary to win, but it's kind of putting together our best game. And we have yet to do it, and that's kind of the challenge. And I will say there's been so much more positive than negative, and there's been so much – you know, I think that there's been an increase in the percentage of positive plays every week. So we're still looking, we're kind of chasing ourselves. And, you know, I know everybody wants to make a big deal of this game being region play, being North versus South. But once again, it's still us versus us until we can establish the standard here, which is going to be executing highly on almost every play.
Yeah. I will tell you another thing, too, I want to talk about is the crowd was just phenomenal. I mean, the stands were just going, were bonkers. It was, the stands were packed. We had a lot of excitement, a lot of things going on. We had the War Eagle flock coming in. We had dance and cheer teams doing everything. But everybody was so excited, you know, I think. And it's just a testament, I think, to what they've seen leading up to this because, you know, they're, you know, this looks like, hey, this team is competitive. And then you go out on the field, and it was one, at least from, like I said, from the outside in, look like one of the best executed games we've seen in a while. I mean, one thing I loved watching was watching Will being able to go through his progressions and everything on the field and take a lot of shorter stuff. We saw a lot more shorter stuff than just all the deep balls and everything. But also, what does it take there? It takes that offensive line. The protection that those guys provided in that game is about as good as I've seen in a while.
No question. And it always starts up front, offense and defense. So, you know, Ben McKee, how well has he performed this year? And, you know, Whit Pearson, it's just amazing to me how far they've come. And, you know, I can go across the whole line because Brian Smith, you know, Kyle Fogarty, you know, Tardiff has done a good job of responding correctly from, you know, having a poor game to playing well the next week. So that line up front, you know, and it's just effort. It's just consistency, and it's the things. It's being a hard worker every day, and I think that they do. You know, they bring their lunchbox to practice, and they carry that over to the game. But then to go back to Will, I mean, extremely efficient, and he's gotten so much better throughout this season. I think the challenge for him this week is going to be: can you run the ball and then turn around and be a quarterback that goes through his reads? Mm-hmm. Because when you throw like you run, I think you see problems happen. There's a switch that goes on and off between a running quarterback and a throwing pocket passer. And you've got to balance that being, you know, someone like Will that plays like that. Fortunately, we've got a guy here that did play like that and that can kind of help guide him through it. So, you know, I'm excited for him because, man, he's really gotten improved every week. And he's got, you know, I'm excited to see where he's going to be at the end of the year because he's been really good.
Yeah, I mean, and his accuracy has become better. And it seems like you're right. He's used his legs when needed. You guys have had some called plays for him to run, too, because that speed is, you know, he's got that speed is something. You can't teach that. And he's got that. And he can outmaneuver and outdo a lot of players. And so very excited. But then all of a sudden, let's go to the running side of the ball. Braden Hammond, I mean, three touchdowns in the game, but, you know, you got him that can just continue to break tackles. And then you've got Kingston Harad that just is a completely different level of speed. You know, you really have a three-headed monster because then you have Hudson Rogers that can come in as well. So you have that. So, you know, that running game, which is so important to this team, being able to work. But when it does, man, it just opens up everything.
It sure does. And, you know, they were secure with the ball, which is a big deal. So they didn't beat themselves. You know, you've seen what Braden's capable of. We know what Kingston's capable of. you know, that machine right there is provides a good running attack for us. And I think you'll see more of Kingston this week. And I think you'll see Braden. Go back to that game. I don't know if you recall a play, but he had already scored 3 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Okay. And here we are in a situation where there comes a point in the game where time becomes more valuable than points. And that's where we were. It was probably 2 minutes, 3 minutes left in the game. And he breaks free. And we've gone over different scenarios, but I didn't refresh this with him. And this is something we talked about a few weeks back. And here he is with the awareness enough to know, I got the first down. I need to go down. So he had a clear 4th touchdown. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many high school kids are that mature, that bought into a team like Braden Hammond. Mm-hmm. And I can't sing that. You know, I sent that clip off to a bunch of guys that I, you know, friends of mine that are coaching and stuff. I said, man, this is our running back doing it on his own, choosing team over himself. I mean, it's pretty cool. So, man, kudos to him because, you know, he could have had 4 that night, but he chose to do, again, on his own. It wasn't me instructing him. This was just him recognizing the situation that we've talked about.
You know, and what's so great about that, that is him, like you said, being aware, recognizing what's going on. And you're exactly right. Not many high school kids would go, man, this could be my 4th. They're running down. They're already thinking their 4th touchdown. But no, he's not thinking about himself. He's not thinking about yards or touchdowns. He's thinking about what is the best for this team at this point in time. And that is fantastic to see. But that also shows, you know, you guys have instilled discipline in these kids too. And you said you maybe have talked about it a few weeks ago, but still, that's something that went in them, and it shows how much they remember and how much they think about what you guys are talking about. But yeah, I will tell you, we called out, I made sure and up in the booth called out the offensive line, because, you know, you really, those are guys that don't ever, the only time you really ever hear one of them is, oh, he missed a block or he's got a holding call or something like that. But I made sure that we called out every single one because they don't get that very often. And they were the key on that side of the ball. And also, they control. Look at defense. That line controlled that, you know, that line of scrimmage and everything. And it was just an all-around good game. Like I said, I had guys. It was funny. It was actually kind of funny. I had guys in the booth saying, I think we had more first downs than we did all last year in that game. It just seemed like it was just constant. But it was a big stats game, everything. But, you know, other than the beginning, which is still tough, you know, we were all sitting there with our heads were shocked. But I even said, that's the guy that you talked about, you know, that could do it. But what a fantastic game, a game it was. We even had the Chick-fil-A Clark cow in the stands too. So he's all running around. So it was good. So let's move on. Let's talk a little about North. So region play, and I know it. It's another game, but it does hype up when it gets into region play. I mean, we, you know, so we got North here against us. I know West is at Lambert, you know, so there's a lot of big games going on, but we've got to focus in on this first one. So talk a little about what you expect to see on the offensive side of the ball from Lambert and then also on the defensive side.
Well, I think from them, I mean, they're really good. They, you know, offensively over there, you know, Coach Morris is, mm-hmm. is with them now. So, you know, he does a good job of putting you in different formations and unbalanced sets and making sure that you can line up correctly. And so it takes a lot of pre-snap focus to our alignment on defense, a lot of focus toward not just what you see, but what could be, and anticipate that so that we can be prepared when the ball is snapped. So that's been an emphasis this week, is kind of initially just lining up correctly and understanding what can happen out of these different scenarios. So we spent a lot of time on that. And, you know, then you look at the defensive side. You know, Coach Kraft has done a good job. And, you know, we played when I was at Northview, and he's a Florida guy as well. So, you know, he does a good job. His teams are always disciplined. They always fight to the end. So we know we're going to get that from those kids. And defensively, man, they've got 2 really good defensive ends. They've got a solid defense all around, and those kids play through the whistle. So it's a good challenge for us. But, again, it's us versus us. It's the way I see it. And I think it's the way the kids see it too, which is, you know, we try to take the emotion of this thing out of it and really just focus on our job and getting ourselves better.
Yeah. You know, we've played so far some teams with some big offensive lines and defensive lines. And notoriously, you know, as we move a little north, you know, of where we're at here, which is where North Forsyth is, it's always been relatively a big team. What do they look like size-wise?
I mean, same. They're big, they're strong, you know, especially the left side of their line is huge. So, you know, that's, again, that's what you get with North for Science. You get those tougher kids, those bigger kids. But again, we also are, we don't back down from anything. So it's going to be one of those things where it's, can we execute, can we do our job consistently, and who does it the best and makes the least mistakes? And I think that that's what you'll see here on Friday.
Well, one thing that we've noticed out of the team too here is we've seen less mistakes as far as, penalty wise and everything. You know, we're not, so far we haven't really beat ourselves, which is just a killer and everything. So the kids are really focused on that. When you look at North and the offense, talk about the quarterback. I mean, is he more of a passing quarterback? Is he a combination of run? Can he do both? Or what do you see the mix in this game being kind of a mix between pass and run, or how do you see it?
I think they do a good job of balancing it. I think that, from what we've seen on film, there's been two quarterbacks in there. Mm-hmm. Both of them are very capable. Both of them can throw and can run a little too. So I'm not too sure what to expect. I think that when we get out there, and we've got to see how it matches up against us. You know, I think Mike Tyson said everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the mouth. And it's similar in football. Like, we have a plan and what we're going to think we're going to do. And then we get out there, like in Riverwood, it's like, oh, you get punched in the mouth. And you're like, well, maybe this needs to get tweaked. This, we can't do this right now. So I think game time adjustments are going to be key for us as a staff this week, only because we're not sure how we stack up, not just with the quarterback, but with, whether their speed, their running back's really good. You know, how do we stack up against that line? All those questions need to be answered.
Yeah, and the other big one, too, I think the last couple seasons against these guys, we've had very slow starts. They've jumped out on us and everything. So hopefully that is, we can keep that one close again early and move on from there. But it should be just an exciting, uniting game. One thing a lot of teams would think, like, oh, we got Coach Morse going over there. He knows everything about South. But the difference is, this is a completely different coaching staff, completely different team. So there's nothing unique that he has there. He can say, hey, this is what they do or anything. Now, granted, we know a little bit more about what he does, but now it's a mix with a new team there. So I don't think that helps you at all either.
No, and the kids, the kids love Coach Morse. So there's no, it's just, it is what it is. But, I wish them the best. And we're just playing. We're still friends after the game. And, I mean that for the whole staff. And again, I don't know how they view it, but for us, we're just not at the point where we can actually look at the team, the opponent. Mm-hmm. We really have to just constantly look at what we can do better, how we can improve from last play. And that's where we are right now. So that's how we're going to attack this game.
Yeah, I will tell you, like I said, we've talked, keep mentioning Coach Morris, which we know, fantastic guy. He's offensive coordinator here forever, and then head coach there at the end. And so I was texting with him this week, and I'm like, man, it's going to be different seeing you in a different color uniform. Because, yeah, things are definitely different, aren't they? But I can tell you, he is also excited to come back here, see people and everything. But his focus is obviously playing a game. And then also, one of the big things that we've got going this week, at the end of the first quarter, which I think is fantastic that we're doing, we're going to recognize the 2015 War Eagle team. This is the one that made the very deep run in the playoffs and was just basically a play or two away from beating Colquitt County. And for those who were at that game in 2015, it was the most amazing atmosphere. I'll never forget leading up to that game. We had won the week before, and I'm telling you, I think half the team and all of us were sitting in Steak and Shake, and there was a coin toss to see it's Thanksgiving week, and are we going down to Colquitt, or are they coming here? And the place erupted because we won the coin toss. But that also meant we had to bring additional stands in, and they lined the track all the way around, because we had to have stands to hold like 5,000 people because of the expected crowd, or we couldn't have the game here. And man, I'll tell you what, the staff got that done. They got all those stands put in and everything, and it was such an exciting game. But anyway, at the end of the first quarter, we're going to recognize that team. We know that not all of them will be able to be back because they all are adults now and have jobs and everything. And I know our quarterback, for instance, Davis Shanley, who just was one of the main keys in that team. He's a quarterback coach at West Virginia Wesleyan in Buchanan, West Virginia now. So I know he won't be able to be there. But I've texted with him, and he hates that he's going to have to miss it. But I'm excited. My son happens to be home on the week. He's not working, so he'll be there. And he was on that team. And you have Jared Honey. Jared was on that team. So really exciting that we're going to recognize him, because that was one of the strongest South teams we've ever had.
Well, I think that that's what we are aspiring to be, that. We're trying to be what that 2015 team was. And honestly, the credit here for this is Kirk Roach, who he wrote an amazing letter to me when I first got the job, like, Coach, you know, it'd be great if somebody could honor our team. And then as you do your homework on what that team accomplished and what they look like, you know, with Coach Garnett, and it was like, man, they've done a ton. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for me, that's kind of the pinnacle of this thing. What if we could that could happen again one day here,
yeah.
You know, where they move bleachers in and stuff. So mm-hmm. I know this is, we're going to honor them here for this quarter, but I hope that those kids on that team realize, man, this is a, you know, wish we could do more, mm-hmm. you know, and remember that and kind of just kind of aspire to be what they were.
I will tell you, it definitely brings back memories. Like I said, I can just picture every bit of that game like it was yesterday. And I mean, because it was just so solid. And you know, that was, and there's no doubt, everybody will talk about that. That was because Colquitt County was it. They were the powerhouse. And I don't think they were expecting what happened when they came in this game. Of course, we have Jalen Camp and all those guys too. And for that game to be that close, because that's one I still say to this day, if they get past that game, that is they had a legitimate shot to win a state championship, and it's one those kids will never forget. You know, they talk about it and everything. So I know when Davis is around at the house, we always still talk about that game and that season. So definitely exciting. So we're looking forward to that. So for everybody, that'll be at the end of the first quarter. We'll move our T-shirt toss to the end of Q3. And then, and we'll have that at the Q1. You have the guys there. I don't know how many are going to make it, but we're gonna list them by name. And also, like I said, remember that team was coached by Jeff Arnett, you know, which was our longtime coach and phenomenal, did a phenomenal job. And Troy Morris, who he'll be in the locker room at that time, so he won't be able to be out there. But he was the offensive coordinator, so hats off to him because they were such a big part of that. Other than that, it's going to be exciting. Like I said, Greg won't be able to be with us, but we're doing our best to see who we can get in there to get the broadcast done, because I'm on the other side doing the stadium call, so I can't do that. So hopefully they are able to be on at 7 p.m. with the broadcast, so we'll do everything we can to make that happen. But right now, Coach, let's just – exciting. It's an exciting time to be a War Eagle. These kids are excited. The fans are excited. And I expect an atmosphere here out of this world on Friday night.
I do too, and I'm excited for it. It's going to be fun.
All right. For everybody, for myself, Doug Thomas, and for my partner, Greg Golden, who unfortunately could not be here today, thank you for listening, and we look forward to Friday night. And like I said, we hope to have the broadcast at 7 p.m., you know, with Todd Spencer, and hopefully we can get somebody else to be with him, and within the kickoff at 7:30. And then, like I said, we're going to honor that great team from 2015 at the end of the first quarter. So for ForsythSports365.com, everyone have a great day.